Welcome back to another episode of The Decision Hour. I'm your host, Adam Bird. Folks, I got a great interview lined up for you today. Backstory on this. So I'm sitting at my desk, checking my emails, and I get this little ping, a little ding, a little notification that an email comes in. I go over and I check it, and I read this email from this woman, and she starts talking to me about, you know, she's, you know, military wife and ministry, and they wrote a book, and quite honestly, that's kind of where it stopped for me. I didn't need to read the rest of it. I just saw that and I said to myself, self, let's reach out. This is right up our alley, and I couldn't wait to have her on, and I'm blessed that we get to have her on today to speak with all of you. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Beth Runkle, did I say your last name right?
Yes, very good.
Oh, yes, all right, okay, great. Beth, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I was talking a little bit about you offline, and I was just kind of like, I read your email, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is right up my alley on a more personal level, being a veteran myself. But let me jump off the soapbox here. I want you to take a step up, and why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what your story is about?
Sure. I was a 25-year military spouse. My husband served in the Air Force. And when I first married him, we met at a wedding. I was a bridesmaid. He was a groomsman.
Oh, wow.
So yes, it does happen. he was already serving in the military. And we were dating across the country, long distance. He had not really told me much about what it meant to marry someone in the military and how my life might be altered dramatically.
Yeah.
But I actually praise God for that now, because had I have known what I was getting into, I would have not married him.
Well, how long did you guys date long distance? You said you guys, when you first met, you started dating, it was long distance. How long was that?
We dated for a year long distance, and then we got engaged another year.
Okay. All right.
So we got married, and my husband had changed career fields in the Air Force during the time we were dating. So he honestly had not known what to tell me about what he was going to be getting into. He became a pilot, and that is a lot more travel and training and combat than being an electrical engineer in an office in a cubicle.
Right.
So we got married, and we moved three times in 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And then we showed up at his first operational base, and we unpacked our boxes, and he deployed. And I found myself thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
You know, I got married to be lonely and to be by myself in a place where I don't know anyone. And I had been very career oriented. Mm-hmm. And also it was hard to keep, you know, refinding a job. I was in a job at the time, but he was deployed three times during that 2 years, and also went to a 7-week training school during that time. So he really was not home very much at all. And I found myself hating everything about the military. And sadly, I told him that often. So you can imagine our marriage was not peachy keen.
Right. And this is very young in the marriage.
Yes. Yes. So we moved again. And this time we moved to a place that actually got harder for me. He did not deploy, but we moved to a tiny town in Mississippi where there were no work opportunities for me. And then, you know, thankfully, though, God used that.
Yeah.
Because my husband ran into some people he had gone to college with, and they had become Christians, and they invited us to get involved in their Bible study. Which we did. And I had been raised in a super loving home where we went to church regularly, but I feel that my faith was an intellectual faith, and not a heart faith. You know, it really didn't change anything about my life. And it, you know, I did not read the Bible. It was, you know, my life was not oriented towards God. But in this Bible study, which was on the book of Genesis, you know, we realized that we needed saving, and that Jesus desired to draw us into relationship with him. And I think prior to then, my standard had really been that there's like a scale in heaven. As long as I did more good things than bad things, like I was going to go to heaven. Well, that's not biblical. So we saw that, And both my husband and I became Christians.
Yeah.
And then about a year later, we went to a marriage retreat put on by ministry, was actually as part of Crew, which is who I work with now in ministry. But at that marriage conference, we saw God's biblical blueprint for marriage, and just the roles in marriage, how God wants us to move towards oneness, but our natural tendency is to isolate and to move towards one another. Mm-hmm. Understanding how Satan wants to divide marriages. I saw how important respect was for me to show him and to let him be the leader, which I had not been doing. So that dramatically changed our marriage. And it was at this marriage conference, towards the end of the conference, they stood from the platform and they said, "Hey, if you've learned some great principles here and you want to take this back and share this with people in your community, you know, we have these small group guides, you can take them. They're easy to lead." And so we are young married, but we know that marriage is hard, but we know that marriage is a little bit harder in the military. So we take these small groups back to our home and we begin leading small groups for just neighbors, people my husband works with. "Hey, do you want to come do a 4-week marriage study with us?" And we began investing in other people's marriages and forming community, which is something you greatly need when you're moving so frequently.
Yeah.
But we were also making deposits in our own marriage and reminding ourselves of, you know, how God has called us to be a spouse and moving away towards our selfish, sinful tendencies.
Right.
And that really just became what we continued to do as we moved around. That was what we did as we moved around. We would just, so we moved 14 times in my husband's career, and we would show up to a new place and we would just right away start cultivating community and inviting people to do small group in our home. And it was really just the people we were interacting with. I mean, and oftentimes we didn't even reach out to people that went to church. It was just anybody. "Hey, marriage is hard. Do you want to work in your marriage for 4 weeks? Will you commit to come to our home?"
Wait, Beth, let me interrupt you here real quick.
So yeah, sure.
I'm hearing this. So, and correct me if I'm wrong. So what I'm hearing is you get married to the military, not yes. Peaches and Keen. Shocker to the listeners. I know, like, "Oh no, that would never happen." Right. How many years into the marriage were you when you both came together and decided that you were going to, one, commit your life to Christ, and two, start the marriage retreat, or go to the small group?
We came to Christ somewhere between 3 and 4 years we've been married.
Wow.
And it was really within that year, but we didn't really know what we were signing up for. I mean, it was just, these are great principles. Right. Let's try to teach them to other people.
Right.
And then we realized, I mean, one of the things that was hard for me about being married to someone in the military was that I was having to start over my friendships constantly. And I was, you know, the first couple of moves, you know, 6 months of loneliness, no friends. And so we realized if we would cultivate these communities and start them, mm-hmm. and just invite whoever, that immediately would be our community. And I wouldn't go through that loneliness and also lack of purpose.
Right. Ooh.
Because we were engaging in other people's lives and they were engaging in ours. But, and we're very intentional to be very vulnerable and authentic when we meet with people.
Okay.
I still believe firmly to this day, I don't have it all together. I don't think any of us do. And when we lie and pretend that we have it all together, people don't want to be around us.
Right.
So one of the things we always do, even to this day, and we're in full-time ministry now, is we tell the couples that we meet with, like, we do not have a perfect marriage. We are not professional counselors. We're just here, people who recognize, you know, that we can help one another. And we recognize, you know, the ultimate source of anything we do good is God. And we need him. We need him to be a part of our marriages, especially in the military, because it is dang hard. But we also need to see that it isn't just about us. And that's what I think we began to see. And I began to see, instead of what about my career? What about what I want to do? I'm always in his shadow. I got on board and embraced that God had called me as well as my husband. I believe when a person serves in the military, man or woman,
yep.
it is a calling.
Yeah.
It is something special, an obligation that they feel personally they must do. It's not just a job. That was huge for me to realize that. And then I could get behind and say, okay, if God ordained for me to marry this man and be doing this lifestyle, we're going to move every 1.7 years. Yes, I did calculate it. Then I too am called. I am called, and God has a calling on my life. And it doesn't look like what my husband's calling look like. I don't put on the uniform. I don't carry the weapons. You know, I don't fly an air system with $1 million airframe, right? I don't do any of that. But I have a calling on my life to influence the people that God puts me around. You know, and I really believe, you know, Acts, I think it's 17:26, right? God ordained the times and the places that you would live. And I believe that was a call on my life, that I was to influence those people as we moved around, you know, our 14 times. I was just as much being given an assignment at each new base.
So you had to change your mindset.
Absolutely.
On how you looked at this.
Yes.
Because, and I think that I say that, and I say it that way, is because there's so many young people in the military, doesn't matter what branch you're in, that get married at a young age, you know, and a lot of you in the Army, you young privates and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, oh, I got married because I want the extra BAH or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. That's very valid.
That's, and, you know, we sit here and we joke about it, but it happens. I mean, it's, and then people wonder why the divorce rate is so high in the military. It's because, oh, I signed it. It looks glamorous and this and that. It can be, but you have to really change that, your mindset. And here's the other thing. And I'm going to be bold enough to say this, that if you don't believe in God, it's that much harder to accomplish.
Yeah, because what's your purpose at each place you're at?
Yeah. And I love how you say your purpose, because it's something that we talk about a lot, is finding your purpose. Because here's the thing. You're talking about being, right now we've talked about being in the military. So far, the story that you've given us so far is when you guys are active duty, right? So let's transition a little bit. What happens when it comes time to ETS or it comes time to retire?
Yes.
What's the mindset then? And is the change, how did that go for you guys? When it came time to retirement, what was that conversation like? And what did you guys decide to do?
Sure. I just want to add one more point about what you said about switching. Well, I just wanted to add, I think one of the hardest things for the spouse is, what are you placing your identity in? And right in the beginning, my identity was in my career. Yeah. And I was really good at what I did. But then that was really being upset, you know, every 1.7 years for me. So I feel like if we don't have a faith in God and our identity is not in Him, we're really going to struggle. Because if your identity is in what you do, or even sometimes in your spouse's rank, that is not a good thing to place your identity in.
Great
right?
advice. Great advice.
We have to have our identity placed in who Christ says we are.
Right.
And, you know, what He wants us to do. So I just think that was a really important perspective shift that had to happen with me as well.
That makes so much sense. And that's something that's so overlooked. And I can't tell you how many bases I've come across where you're sitting at the front gate and the wife comes in, the spouse says, "Oh, I'm so-and-so's wife," and this and that. It's, who are you? And that's so important.
Well, and I think there's worth in you without your rank, and there is purpose in you without your rank.
Well, then,
you know, there are so many hurting people on all these installations who need somebody who's going to care about them and invest in them. And that can be anyone, no matter rank, position, anything.
100%.
But yeah, I want to answer your question about the retirement. So my husband served 25 years. We actually always were going to get out at 20. But at 20, we evaluated our life and we really felt like we were able to influence more people to trust in God on active duty than if we were to get off at that time. Okay. So we served 5 more years, which in the beginning with, you know, the original Beth who hated everything about the military, that would have been unimaginable that I would have said. I mean, I was telling my husband, get out as soon as your pilot commitment's up, get out, get out. And he said, well, you know, it's only a few more years to retirement. I was like, I don't care. You're going to have to get out. But, you know, God changed me. But I think for us, you know, eventually my husband just came to a point where he was like, you know, the stress, the pressure, the responsibility, you know, was just a lot. And we actually struggled with, you know, what are we going to do post-military? Because the military had become our people. Right. That's what we do. We invest in the military, at least for me. Military spouses are my favorite people in the world. I'm super passionate about being involved with them. And I remember even saying to my husband, like, well, I'll be okay, but I don't want to have to choose where we're going to live. That's so weird. You know, and he's like, wait, no, this is what we're waiting for. Right. And I'm like, well, if someone will just tell us where to move, then maybe I can figure that out from there. And he just chuckled and he said, wow, you've really changed. But we continued to do these small group studies in our home at all of, you know, it was 11 of the 14 locations. Cause the first few, you know, we weren't followers of Christ. And we connected with the ministry that we work with now, which is called Crew Military. It's a division of Campus Crusade for Christ. And we focus on winning people to Christ, building them up in their faith, and then sending them on mission. And honestly, the military does a lot of the sending for us. And it's really just getting people to have a mind shift that they can be on mission. They can be a missionary while they happen to be serving for the armed forces.
Well, there's something I didn't know.
That's not their primary job, right?
Right.
And if you're wearing the uniform, you are limited, right, on what you can do, especially when you're a superior. But you can be on mission because God is going to move you a lot. And I think, like, if you looked at Paul from the New Testament, Paul was constantly on the move, he was influencing people as he went. He was a full-time missionary. But I think as you are moving, you can be influencing people as you go and offering people hope and healing that is only found in Jesus. And they need to hear about it. And you are positioned to be able to do that. And I especially feel as a spouse, you know, that was my primary calling. We had and touched with the military ministry over the years and eventually they just ask us, you know, would we consider going on staff, full-time missionary staff? And that is not something we really wanted to do. Neither of us ever wanted to raise support. We love God. We love his word, but we just felt like we couldn't do that. Thankfully, because of the military's retirement and the benefits that we get through that, we didn't have to raise as much. But yeah, so we now work full-time with Crew Military. They moved us to Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we do ministry at the Air Force Academy, Peterson Space Force Base, Fort Carson. And I've done a little bit of ministry at Buckley, which is up there in Denver.
Yep. It's funny because as we're sitting here recording this today, I've talked to four people in the last 24 hours in Fort Carson area.
It's a big base.
And my son, who is, he's in college right now in Nebraska, but he's getting ready to go down there for some training.
Okay.
For an ROTC program. So it's a small world. I got to ask, where were you guys prior to Fort Carson?
My husband's last duty assignment was at Laughlin Air Force Base in Del Rio, Texas. It's on the Mexican border in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Did you all hear how Beth just kind of threw that in so nonchalantly? This is where it was in the Mexican border. It's in the middle of nowhere.
It is. But honestly, I absolutely loved it.
Oh,
but if you would have put me there earlier in my husband's career,
no.
I wouldn't have had that perspective. No. But it was a very close-knit community. There's really nothing else to do. So you do a lot together.
Yeah.
And you know, we had gotten to a point in my husband's career where we were ready to invest in the younger airmen and their families below us. And we were really able to do it very well there.
Yeah.
We were some of the few people over the age of 40 at that base. Everybody's just super young. It's a pilot training base. So you got a lot of people going through pilot training and then, you know, young airmen, their first duty assignment there.
Right.
So we loved it. I love little tiny town Texas is what we call it. I just love the people there. They're lovely. And God knew that I was ready to be doing his work in the middle of nowhere. And I think that's partly why we had such a vibrant ministry, is because it was the middle of nowhere. We could invest in people.
I love the fact that you have, this is such a unique story in a sense of, you know, how long have you and your husband been married now?
Almost 27 years.
We'll say 27 years. And you guys have been married 27 years. And at the beginning, from the sound of the way this was going, this didn't sound like this was something that was going to stick. Let's be honest.
I do not believe that we would still be married today had we not found a relationship with Jesus Christ.
And the fact that you find God through, for lack of a better word, I'll say a hardship.
Absolutely. You
know, learning how to deal with the military life and what soldiers, airmen, Marines, and sailors go through. And you stuck it out. And the fact that you remained strong and that your faith today is truly inspiring, I think, to many. And in a world that we live in today, is needed. So I commend you on that, Beth, and for you and your husband. Well, and
it's all God.
Because it is absolutely amazing. Beth, I want to talk about you. You guys, you authored a book. The book's called Another Move, God.
Yep.
30 encouragements for embracing your life as a military wife. How did that start? Did you just wake up one day and said, you know what? I'm here. This is what we're doing. I'm going to write a book.
No.
okay. Share with us. How did that all come to fruition?
I actually did not really want to write a book.
Yeah.
So one thing I didn't mention is that I also began doing women's Bible study in my home.
Okay.
Kind of the same way. Boots hit the ground, a new assignment. I would meet one other woman. Hey, you want to do Bible study with me? We would sit on the floor of my living room, often in my base house. It wasn't particularly nice, but everyone else who lived on base had the same not so nice house. And that was just also what I did, because I realized that the Word of God was very powerful.
Yeah.
I needed to be in it. I needed to renew my mind, and I needed accountability. And this is a way I could form community. So I continued to do that throughout, did a lot of amazing Bible studies over the years with women. And we always had a shared contextualization that we could apply to the scriptures and the lesson. And we could always make an application to our life from what we were studying from the Word of God. But I did notice that there really wasn't anything written for our unique challenges. And wondered why there wasn't. You know, couldn't somebody address something that would talk about how do you deal with your husband being deployed? How do you deal with moving frequently? How do you cultivate community? You know, how do you work past communication issues when your husband's deployed? So I came on staff with Crew Military. And then during the pandemic, I began seminary. And I'm just finishing up my Master's of Theological Studies.
Wow.
With Gateway Seminary, which is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And when I was in seminary, I began learning how to really deeply study the scriptures and interpret them better and draw out applications. And so it was through that, I've always been crazy about Genesis, partly because I got saved in it. But Sarah's story has always been very special to me. I did mention one of the other challenges that we had in our lives was, I'm an infertile woman. So Sarah's story, that's where I got saved, in the pages of Genesis 12 through 24 in Sarah's life.
Yeah.
And partly because I saw parallels with Sarah's life to mine. Now, a normal person might not see that, but I'm not a normal person. I'm a military spouse. But I saw right away, that when Sarah and Abraham were called to go to a land that God would show them, that's a PCS. That's a permanent change of station.
Yeah.
They were also constantly resettling with their tent, right? They went from Ur to Canaan to Bethel to Egypt, back to Bethel to the Oaks of Marm. So this is constant transition, you know, having to recultivate community. And only, you know, all this moving for them, they did not even have household movers, right? From TMO. They had donkeys and camels. So it actually made me not feel quite so sorry for myself. At least I had movers coming to my house. But I also saw that Abraham was a warrior who went off to combat. Now, again, you might think, what? I didn't see that in the pages of Genesis. Well, it's there. Abraham went off with his 318 trained men to rescue his nephew Lot. When four kings and all of their armies, he was fighting against them. That is a combat deployment. Mm-hmm. And so I imagined that Sarah dealt with a lot of the same things as Abraham went off. In fact, it might have even been scarier because I don't think he received the training that my husband did, mm-hmm. you know, and how to deal with weapons. And then on top of that, Sarah struggled with infertility for 25 years. So Sarah is my girl because I saw myself as so intimately seen by the Lord that he would choose in his sovereignty that the very first time I would study the Bible was I was studying a girl whose life looked like mine. So you put that together that I've always had that connection with Genesis. And then I went through theological training and then I was asked to write a proposal for a project that would address content specifically written to military spouses.
Okay.
That project did not end up going through, but then I had a proposal that I had spent hours and hours and hours creating. And so I did go to a writers and speakers conference and pitch it, and I got an agent, and I got a book deal with Lifeway's Trade Book Division, which is B&H Publishing. And all of this is amazing. It's more than I could ask or imagine. But just like God had to take me and not know what it was going to be like to be a military spouse, he did the same thing with me authoring a book. This is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have not done it if God told me what I was signing up for. But I want to obey him. So he knows that about me. And he's only going to give me what I need for the next step.
Yep.
But it's been a tremendous process in growing my faith still. And I do love the scriptures. I love studying the scriptures. So that's how the book came about. But it does specifically address the military wife and all the challenges. And we're getting lessons from the scriptures on how they can address and how it can speak to your life.
For those that are listening right now, Beth, and they want to reach out to you, maybe there's a military spouse, man, woman, family member, that wants to reach out to you, talk to you, work with you, have you on another show. How can somebody reach out to you right now? How can they connect with you?
Sure. A couple ways. First of all, my website is bethrunkle.com. That's my Beth, BethRunkle.com. I blog specifically content for military spouses. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Beth Runkle Writes. That's Beth period Runkle period Writes. And I do on Instagram every single week. I'm putting out content to address just unique challenges of the military life. I'll post on it, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. And then I do bring a guest on my Instagram live once a week where we talk about that topic. So I'm getting other people to speak in to these challenges, you know, and sometimes address some of the things that I haven't particularly experienced. For example, today I am having an Army spouse who also was Army 23 years herself. She and I are going to talk about combat trauma and combat trauma courses that both she and her husband have gotten healing through and that my ministry uses. My husband and I have led one of these. Now, my husband doesn't have combat trauma, but many, many people in the military do. It's something we need to talk about more. And it's also something we need to talk about in the spouse's space because secondary PTSD often exhibits symptoms that are very similar to primary PTSD. And there is hope and healing for the member with PTSD and their spouse. And my ministry partners in the ministry that does that. So Anne Marie and I are going to be talking about that today. And obviously she adds not just the spouse component, but she herself having PTSD from war-related issues.
That's amazing. So we're going to have all of Beth's information in the show notes below. We'll have her social media stuff as well as her website and how you can reach out to her. Beth, we're coming up on time, but before I let you go, I'm not letting you off that easy. One more question for you. Show is called The Decision Hour, and mm-hmm. we have to make decisions every single day. Name a time in your life where your feet are on the line and you have to make that decision. What is it and what's the atmosphere like at that time?
I mean, I think for me, it would be honestly, am I going to just bail on this marriage? Am I going to just say it's too hard? You know, I'm career oriented. I have goals. I have things I want to do. Or am I going to stay committed to my man? Am I going to pivot? I think the biggest thing was in the beginning, it was just a pity party. I just felt so sorry for myself all the time. You know, all the inconveniences that the military was causing me. And so it really was, are you going to care more about yourself or others? Right. And are you going to just stop this pity party and say, why does God have me here? And how can I be used? And how can I use this position to make a difference in other people's lives? I could do that. I could move forward in that, which was terrifying. Or I could stay miserable in my pity party and have it be about me. And I could have bailed on the marriage and I would have still had my career, but I would not be happy. I actually don't even know if I'd be alive. I had a very high stress job. I don't know if I would have survived it. But I pivoted and I said, I'm going to embrace what God has for me. And wow, what we do when we were serving on active duty, investing in others, and certainly now, it is the most rewarding job in the world. I love what I do. I cannot believe that God would call me worthy to invest in other people's lives. But I had to get out of the pity party.
Such great advice. And I can't thank you enough for being a living example of what people should strive for to be now. Thank you so much, Beth. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Folks, we're going to have all of Beth's information again in the show notes below. Go check out our website, her social media channels, and also go check out our parent company, Heroes Media Group. Go to heroesmediagroup.com. Check out all the shows that are there. We got some events coming up later this year. You'll find all of that stuff coming out as well. So until next time, you've been listening to The Decision Hour.